we need to wait for Victoria to get up.
You ready?
Yep.
I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order at 6:10 or 6:09. Let's get started on the agenda. First up, literally just had it open and then put it away. No meeting minutes to go through. No public comments that are not germane to the agenda item for this evening. Perfect.
Well, we do have some comments for germane to the
Item. Let's do roll real quick first, and then we can also move forward. So
In that case, let's go ahead and say who is present. Kath Gang Schultz, chair, present.
Nate Levin.
Cheryl Hammond.
Ramona Murtha.
Kyle Hedquist, vice chair.
I'm Beth Schmidt.
Okay. We'll do a quick presentation, and then I guess, and we can open up for comments, right? So we had the original meeting 3 weeks ago on this issue. The topic is the city is working on another phase of the commercial street project that started. You know, we did some restriping on Commercial Street. The phase that Brian Banta is working on right now is a section of missing sidewalk between Radcliffe and basically Vista, and a new traffic signal at the intersection of Radcliffe and Commercial. And the project will also remove the right turn lane that's existing on northbound Commercial onto Radcliffe. The issue that came up was originally this project was designed like the rest of the project with buffered bike lanes, and as we were working through the design of this project, preliminary design, we got feedback that there was a desire to consider other bicycle facility options, and so we had our first meeting on this topic 3 weeks ago, and we did not get completed with all of the discussions and comments. So we are holding a kind of a, I don't know if it's an emergency CATSE meeting, but a CATSE meeting to work through these comments and hopefully come to a decision from CATSE, and the recommendation then would go to the Public Works Director from CATSE. So that's kind of where we're at. Brian here is the project manager. He's going to kind of go real quickly over the three options that we have available, and then we'll open up to the chair to do comments and questions.
Yeah, and I suppose, Brian, while you're giving the presentation, if you wouldn't mind also just summarizing the questions and answers that you gave me over email, that'd probably be the most efficient way to go about it.
Okay, I'll run through it, and then maybe afterwards we can step through. Was there anybody here that wasn't here at the last meeting?
I wasn't either.
Okay, so you this is fairly new. I'm assuming you all have a chance to look at
this. I've read the materials, yeah.
Well, I'll just hit the options here, and I'll maybe focus on the typical sections a little bit easier to you know, see in your mind what the proposed options are. So this first one here is kind of what was taken up to this point. We're at about a 50% design point, and this would be a striped buffered bike lane here, which would be currently out there right now. This is kind of an old aerial. There was a previous project that about a year ago came through and put a 2-foot buffered bike strip through there. We're proposing a 3-foot buffered area with a 6-foot bike lane. We have water quality swales that are going to be installed throughout here, because we have federal requirements for water quality. And then we're going to have, under this option, a 6-foot sidewalk, and then we have retaining walls all along this section here, and it varies basically to a 1-foot all the way up to a 10-foot. It's kind of a fill area that we're kind of pushing into, and it's going to require a retaining wall there. And there's some retaining walls along this side as well. So this is option one. two. Just got to think a little bit here. So option two is very similar to option one, except within that 3 foot bike area. The proposal is to put a 18-inch raised buffer in there to provide some positive protection, and either place surface mounted tubular markers on top of that, or some type of pavement marker, like a flat flush pavement marker that hasn't been determined yet. So you'd still have the 6 foot bike lane, the swales, and then again the 6 foot sidewalk. And cost wise, the option one is zero because that's where we're at right now. Option two would be $70,000 more because there's some redesign, and not a whole lot of redesign, but the installation of the separator is going to cost a little bit of money. And the third option is a shared use path. So again, all these options are measured at 20.5 feet from the existing travel lane. So trying to squeeze all this stuff within this area here, under this scenario, would be a 12-foot shared use path. This isn't really accurate. The swale will come up to the, it would be flush with this. There wouldn't be a drop off like that. But again, a 5 foot swale, and then the remainder, I think it's 2.5 feet, would be the offset from the travel line. And then we looked at a fourth option, met with Public Works Director, City Engineer, to consider this one. It was the, actually, let me show you this one. And this one was taken off the table because of cost. And that's why we're down to the three options. So it would be this kind of a cut-through path or a separated bike lane, sidewalk, and then having the swale in between. So this option was looked at and presented, and the cost associated with this one was $220,000. Option three was $110,000. Option two was $70,000. And option one, like I said, was zero. So after presenting these, Public Works Director decided to omit this one based on cost. And so that's why we're left with the three options here tonight. So with that, I don't know if you want to go into questions.
Do you want to quickly go through Candace? I don't know, Cheryl, you submitted some questions. Do you want to talk to those separate, or do you
want to? I didn't bring that. I thought the idea was if we had questions to send them, and then Brian would address them to everyone.
I have yours here. If you,
I didn't bring a copy of that.
I can bring those up if you'd like.
Yeah.
So I guess the first one here, Ken, we'll go through yours first. So you have some questions. What the total budget is? I think you were curious. I said the budget for construction was $3 million, and there was $5.6 million, which was the grant funding.
In retrospect, it was rather obvious where the rest of the money went.
Okay, yeah. So it's the $5.6 million. Then we have the construction budget. Then we have right away, and then we also have the project management costs and the design costs. So kind of a breakdown of that. Construction roll up was 3.8. I'm rounding here. 3.8 million. That's for the construction contract, construction engineering, project management, and inspection services, because we're going to have a separate contract for to have a consultant inspect the project and manage the project during construction. Right away is $270,000, and then $1.4 million for the PE and design rollout. So, any follow-up questions on that? Okay, the next one Okay, so you had a question. Staff stated this is a design 50%. You were curious if maybe the costs associated with these different options could be covered under the contingency, because typically, you know, contingencies at the 50% point are 20 to 40%. In this case, it's our contingency is 15%, and that's basically to cover unforeseen costs between now, and it basically covers it all the way through construction. So, don't have extra money in here to cover these options. That being said, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I mean, if everything goes perfect, you know, how long does that happen?
Yeah. It is still worth mentioning that 15% of this is in the neighborhood of around $1.3-ish million.
So it's 15% of the
construction. Of the construction cost. So it's around
$450,000.
Yeah, yeah, but it's still not insubstantial.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a federal project. We just can't take chances of it not being budgeted, not having enough money by the time we get to the end of it. So the main purpose of, you know, of course, you know, you can consider the cost associated with it. There is a cost to do with each option. You know, it's, we'll see how it pans out in the end, but I just wanted you guys to be aware that there is a cost associated with it, you know, so. You had some other questions in here, but I'm thinking maybe that answered, I mean, at least for that one, for the contingency portion of it.
Yeah, I think that my main point there is just simply that when you're looking at the overall cost of the project, when we're talking about nominally 1% or 0.5% or less of the construction cost, I hesitate the strength of the pulling the alarm of saying needing to find extra funding. There's a lot of different ways that, particularly as you get closer to putting this out to bid, $70,000 might appear or disappear, same with $110,000. And I'd expect by the time you get to a 90 final plans and you have that contingency reduced down to zero, you'd have a pretty good idea of whether or not there's money left or not. And I don't see why, at least at the CATC level, even if your contracting rules don't have that level of sophistication, I don't see why there's any reason why our decision couldn't say, you know, we don't want to increase the project budget, but if there's money available, we'd prefer to go with option B as that number comes in, as you keep bringing that extra hold, that extra help funding down.
Yeah, I think for us, the director is comfortable that we have enough ability to cover the, you know, option two or three, so the 70 or the 120 or whatever that is. So we're comfortable, but you know, we really never know where we're at until construction starts, and then
obviously not,
and even delays that we have, because you know, rain delays
after,
can
right after construction, because
yeah,
the contingency is,
yeah,
it's going to cover that,
yeah,
as well.
So we're just not comfortable going too much beyond that, and getting and delivering the project.
Yeah, but that's just my only point here, is more or less wanting to bring up a point of perspective that I do believe is important for all of us to consider here. We're talking about an outlandish amount of money to you and me, but to the overall scope of this project, it's going to be within the error of your estimate on one line item.
Yeah.
When the bid's open,
we're
talking about an amount of money that is going to appear and disappear between when you estimate it and when you bid it.
Kind of hard to make a decision then if it's that tight.
To that point, that's why you set aside the funds ahead of time to make sure that you're covered.
And that's why we're comfortable with option one, two, or three.
Right.
So, Kevin, can you maybe repeat and paraphrase? Does that mean the city is basically comfortable to commit to options one, two, or three?
Yes.
Okay.
And work through design. So we are comfortable that if CATC picks any one of those options, and the director then agrees with that, then we will move forward with design. So we will work our way to fulfilling that option.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and honestly, I can omit the bulk of the rest of my questions At this time, I got a little bit into just double checking to make sure that all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed, and what I could tell, because on some other federal projects I've been associated with, not adjusting for inflation was a thing that happened and very much ruined the project. Sounds like you guys have adjusted, so that is good.
And we design our wall. We're trying to design everything to the lowest cost possible. Our storm facilities, our retaining walls, we want them as short as possible because they create vision issues as well. So we're trying to penny pinch this project.
So yeah, as opposed to getting into all the minutiae of kind of the just nuts and bolts that I looked into, I will kind of focus in on the one other thing I did note, which is that particularly with that shared use path, you know, you're basically widening that travel lane by about 2.5 feet. My math was bad in my email. But, you know, that 2.5 feet, if you're assuming, you know, 1 to 4, 1 to 6 slopes or something like that above the retaining wall, you could be getting a couple feet shorter on the retaining wall. You could also be saving yourself that extra couple of feet on asphalt. You know, if there was an option that, and I'm aware that there is real and substantial cost with redesigning a retaining wall, but if it winds up being a foot or two shorter across the board, that's still cheaper.
Yeah.
I'm curious why we kept that 20 and a half foot section, other than, again, not wanting to crack open the retaining wall design again.
Yeah, we design our lanes narrower where there's the ability to move around in them. So once we get to, you know, so we generally, our lanes are 11 feet wide. So 11-foot wide lane next to a bike lane. But once you get next to a curb, we want a little bit of shy distance from that, because otherwise people hit it and potentially crash. So we usually look at least 2 feet. So we'd go to a 13-foot lane next to a curb.
Okay.
And so that's kind of why we're keeping that. I mean, there is the potential that we could adjust it during final design and maybe save some money. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we're doing a lot of preliminary stuff to, this is kind of the worst case that we would have, and, you know, we're going to be still tweaking it, still tweaking some of the design parameters as well.
Yeah.
So
the one thing I note is that with option 3, which is currently the most expensive option, but we're talking expensive by $40,000,
right.
Could it be, if you shave it back down, does option 3 maybe start looking more similar in cost to option 2 with that less asphalt, that shorter wall?
It could.
That was the question that I wanted. That was the point that I was bringing up there.
And we'll note that point.
I believe that covers everything that I
and
brought
then
up.
I have Cheryl's, so I'll go real quickly through yours.
So could I actually go through it in order to not waste time on things that, because we're halfway through our meeting.
Okay.
I did not bring it. We're halfway through our meeting time.
Can you show option 2 up there?
I don't want to waste time on things that are, like Ken said, sort of minutia at this point, so thank you.
So I have a question. Are we in the discussion portion?
We are currently in the discussion. There's been no motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
except I'm going to do this next.
I thought there was someone here for public comment.
I'd like to run through all of these first and then bring in comments. They're all commenting on the same thing. So as opposed to running the risk of them duplicating questions that we've already asked and had answered, I want to run through our questions first and then bring up the commenters.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys aren't here for anything but this topic, right? Okay.
Over here anyway.
Okay, should I go?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do this as quickly as possible. With the new bike lane in option 1, would the new bike buffer lines be profiled? Yes.
Yep. That's our standard practice.
That's our standard.
Option 2, I was pretty sure the answer was yes. Can Zeus, the little zero emissions sweeper, sweep the shared path? Or, sorry, option 2 or 3, can it sweep the path? Yes. I had seen 2 different numbers for the shared use path being 10 versus 12 feet. It was clarified that it's 12. And kind of repeating from last time, I was asking about additional information about visually, in option three, visually differentiating between the bike and the ped portion, and that was, at the time of this email, still under discussion. I asked if there would be the green bike boxes for bikes traveling on Ratcliffe and crossing commercial. The answer was yes. I asked about green paint or green stripes at motor bike and motor vehicle conflict areas. Basically, the details aren't worked. Yes, but the details aren't worked out yet. I kind of asked if there was an ongoing interested parties opportunity. Yes, and that's it. I tried to go quick.
Yeah. I apologize. I missed one of mine. But please go ahead first, Nathan.
Okay. So at this point in time, are we discussing our opinion of one, two, or three?
I'm probably lumping this all currently as part of the presentation, since Cheryl and I are making sure that conversations we had with staff in private are being read into the record, and then bring in the public comment, and then I would be opening up for general discussion after that, Nathan.
Right. Perfect. Thanks. I'll wait.
I just realized that I had one that I had missed. I had a question about how these three options would fit into the long-term plans for the bicycle corridor down Commercial Street. Mm-hmm. Sounds like all three of these generally fit in. My comment and maybe follow-up question, which we can dive into, I think, more after the conversation or after the commenters get in, is looking at what has already been done on Commercial, my biggest question is actually about how well a multi-use path would fit in with just what is currently available right-of-way-wise and already built facility-wise along Commercial. I think it would be a little bit odd to have a couple hundred feet of multi-use path that are going to be long-term plan is to have them buffered by bike lanes. That to me just feels a little bit non-contiguous. It would make more sense to just keep the same kind of facility all the way down the corridor. So, you know, the difference between having a separator and not, in my mind, is a lot smaller than having them go basically onto what looks like a sidewalk and then go back into the lanes again. So, you know.
For no particular reason.
Yeah. It would seem a little bit odd if that wasn't in the plans for other parts of Commercial in the future. But we can dive into more of that, I think, during our discussion period.
So can we remain on commissioner's discussion? I mean, some people haven't had a chance to have any opinions
Fair
or
enough.
Comments last time or this time before we go to our guests. I think it would be, I mean, I have other things I want to say. I had nitpicky questions to send to Brian.
So yeah, why don't we go around and talk each commissioner first?
Yeah, if that's what the rest of the commissioners
yeah.
want, I'm more than happy to proceed in that fashion. Yeah, I'll open up for general discussion. I will actually open with Nathan since he's been patiently waiting to state his opinion, so
okay.
Please do.
I have been on shared paths with pedestrians and bicycles, and then that also includes the complete scope of electric vehicles. And I will tell you that the shared path is a great concept, but it is less than comfortable, and that's probably pretty polite. If there is not going to be a shared path from one end of Commercial to the other, I think that the separated lanes for the pedestrian path and the bike lane make the most sense. I will defer any opinion about whether it should or should not have the raised concrete physical separation or not to people that ride bicycles every day, and whether you think that is a benefit and a safety factor, then that's fine. The only objection that I have is to option number three, but option number one or two, I'm fine with.
Anyone want to make statements of concurrence or opposition? Because I generally concur with your opinion here. I think that a multi-use path doesn't make sense unless there's more of it.
Because it doesn't provide any
security for pedestrians in a way, like we're trying to add security for the slower moving transport.
Yeah, let's, before we do concurrent stuff, let's everybody have
Fair
a
enough.
Voice first,
okay.
Yeah. Because I
don't want
to make anybody
down.
Feel...
Understood.
So I'm not concurring, but I in fact agree with most of what you said, and rather than repeat it in my own words, I'm not concerned about having a section that's inconsistent. I'm concerned that it's just not a realistic model for what we could expect on the rest of commercial, and retrofitting the rest of commercial to have the raised curb with the existing bike lane or bike buffer is so much more realistic and practical than trying to do a shared use path. And in addition about the e-bikes, I feel like if we have this shared use path, bikes and e-bikes are going to go the wrong way on it. They're supposed to go only one way. The stencils will say you're going that way. But I guarantee there will be some bikes and e-bikes going the wrong way. And the e-bikes these days, oh my God, they go up to 40 miles an hour. Yeah. They are scary.
They are fast.
And I would rather have them either in the bike lane, on the street level, or if they want to ride in traffic, you know. And so then I will say, as a daily cyclist, I would feel far safer with option two than option one. I consider option one to kind of be, if I'm grading from an A to an F, I consider option one to be like a D. An F is there's no bike facility, there's no sidewalk, there's nothing. And option D is there's a line of paint and there is nothing stopping a car from hitting me, and I'm trapped by the curb. A year plus ago, I was almost killed because I was trapped by a guardrail. It was not in the city of Salem. I was on a highway with a decent shoulder, and in my mirror behind me, there was a pickup truck driving 55 miles an hour in the bike lane. It still gives me pause. And I basically crashed into the guardrail in order to try to make a little more space for the truck. Obviously, I wasn't hit. But I was injured. I still have some issues from the injury. And that has made me think more when I'm riding along a road with a curb, especially if there's not very many driveway cuts. If there's driveway cuts, I can just look in my mirror and, you know, hop on the sidewalk if I feel it's safer, hop back onto the street. I even do that on South Liberty. If there's no cars coming, I'll ride in the street. If there's a car coming, I'll hop onto the driveway. Not ideal, but I just think about curbs as preventing me from having an escape route if someone's driving in the bike lane. I originally, my heart was with option three because it's like the best, the safest, except for the e-bikes. But I feel like option two is much more practical and still provides a lot more protection than just some lines of paint. I will leave it there. Thank you.
Vermont, do you have any additional comments or questions?
I don't have anything to add. I'm happy with the
comment. The only comment I'll make is I do like the raised separator. I am not a bicyclist, but I drive a ridiculous amount, and my heart always is a little in my chest when I see a bicyclist and there isn't, you know, some type of buffer. Now, I'm aware and I'm courteous, but I know a lot of people are not, and so I feel that having a raised separator gives some folks that maybe aren't paying attention a little reminder if they get too close to that raised separator. We talked about that at another meeting where, you know, you make a noise because they have the grates on the pavement, and you're like, oh, man, I got to get over. So to me, option two is the safest, you know, apart from the shared use. But, yeah, that you get into trouble with some of those. Even some of the scooters now are ridiculously fast, and I'm always tripping on those things. I'm like, man, or it's going to be a mess. But yeah, so that's my thoughts on the raised separator.
And Beth?
Well, I like option three. Currently, we are working to teach our students in the city of Salem bicycle safety education, PE. So I would like to see an infrastructure that supported students to be able to get to and from school safely. We have a number of schools around that area, and I do get reports from parents who are trying to walk or ride their bikes to school in that area. I would like to have something separate that helped families and students and children to feel separate from that, invited and welcomed in that way that they weren't in traffic. And I feel like if you build it, then even though it's a small section, people will welcome it, and maybe it would be further welcomed and built. And in our city, I think that there are more and more folks here, and especially children, who would like to be able to ride their bikes on those shared, or I mean, you know, not shared. It is a shared area. I get it, and I get what you're saying, but children are too afraid, and that makes parents who are too afraid and everybody too afraid. So I think if you build it and you show people what it could be like, that there's potential, and I think it should be considered.
All right. I'll also, any of the commenters, if you want to make your comments now, I would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, please state your name for the record.
I'm Victor Godier. I'm the board member for the South Salem Association, South Central Association of Neighbors, SCAN, also the chair of the Transportation Committee. Did you distribute this to the committee members?
I think I forgot. I really apologize now that you said
what
that.
We've been interested in how the, I think I peeled off enough to go that way, both ways. We've been interested in how the bike lanes, the protected bike lanes on South Commercial would be dealt with. Since this project was a glimmer in the corridor plan, the Madrona-Oxford corridor study that was, I think, 2012 vintage, so this has been around for a while. So we were, you know, had ideas that maybe we'd have bollards or some sort of demarcation between the travel lanes and the bike lanes. We were very disappointed to see that when the majority of this project was done last year, that we had basically unprofiled bicycle marking for the majority of the road. And so we came to this committee and asked that you change, the city change its standard from non-profiled marking, paper markings for bike lanes to profiled. So at least there's there is the visual cue, but there's also the auditory cue, the bumble. So people have a notion that they're straying a little out of their lane, so to speak. So we, you know, given the opportunity when this came up, and we thought, well, we could talk about it at the Transportation Committee, we looked at both option one, two, and three. We were hoping, given that we have, at least if the city stays on the course and does option one, it will at least be profiled marking, which will be a little better than the non-profiled marking, but not much. We talked about it in the committee, and we can't really decide as a committee, because we don't, what we see is the issues in transition from the the unprofiled bicycle lane transitioning to something transitioning back to the unprofiled lane. So we have we stated our preference for either option two or option three. We made that recommendation to the SCAN board. SCAN board, basically we had the same discussion at the SCAN board. The issue there is more transition. There was some folks stated a preference for the multi-use lane, but there's how do you make the transition from the non-profiled lane, bicycle lane, on into the completely protected, and then 600 feet or 800 feet, I can't remember, you make it back onto the non-profiled. So that's the kind of the issue. So we would be comfortable with either option two or option three, whichever is there. At least with option two, there is something to be a demarcation, separating the bicycle lane from the travel lane. And it's more question if, as the city continues this, continues to develop commercial going further south, because this project ends at the Vista Commercial, Madrona, Oxford study was that segment. Presumably at some future date there'll be another segment from Madrona to the point south. The right-of-way is pretty wide. It's a legacy of the days when commercial was 99E and it was a state highway. That's probably why this particular curve is as wide as it is today, because, and as banked as it is today, because once upon a time it was sort of an undeveloped Salem. We've kind of overcome that, surpassed it. But I think our recommendation from the SCAN board is either option two or option three. Thank you.
And I suppose first, do any of the CATC members have a question for the commenter? All right, well, I'm hearing none. Any other public comment is welcome at this time.
Ben Freiback, representing myself. Picked something up while I was just sitting here, so I was rambling on. So I guess the first thing, I guess I'm just not entirely convinced that a retaining wall would be needed between the asphalt bike lane and the bioswale if the, you know, one of the other options were for the shared use path. I see on this design, it looks like the filter medium, which is the soil, the bioswale is sloped up towards the sidewalk, and that basically eliminates the need for that retaining wall. I'm thinking if the shared use path was, you know, 12 feet wide, you shift the swale over, probably raise the sidewalk and the shared use path, and you likely need a retaining wall because you'd be able to slope the filter medium up. Just to comment on the e-bike stuff, I have an e-bike actually right here today. It's limited to 20 miles an hour. It doesn't have a throttle. Throttled e-bikes are also limited to 20 miles an hour. The only e-bikes that are allowed to exceed 20 are the Class 3 pedal assist, and those that are allowed to go up to 27. Any electric personal mobility vehicle, bikes, whatever, that exceeds 20 miles an hour with a throttle or 27 without is actually considered an electric motorcycle, and they're not in the bike lanes or any bike facility, but the city doesn't have the ability to enforce that, which is makes it legal, I guess. But anyway, I think option three would work well if it was installed with the separation between bikes and pets, because I think certainly in an urban area there's going to be lots of pedestrians and there's going to be lots of bikes, and having them mix isn't great. But I feel like getting the design specifics would be tough, given that this is the kind of first time that any bike facility of this kind of caliber has been installed in the city or this late in the project development, and might kind of bring uncertainty to the project schedule or raise costs beyond estimates, because, you know, if we want to do it right, we might have to spend some extra money, and I really wouldn't want to risk that. I'm not necessarily concerned about the confusion factor. The bioswale itself is essentially a traffic separator, albeit a lot larger and with filtering capabilities for the stormwater. Going forward, I feel like the installation of traffic separators in the buffer would be a good retrofit within the existing bike lanes. And I believe South Commercial is, I guess, the installation of these buffers is warranted based on the ASHTO bike design guide. And option one, which is not installing a separator, would likely result in an overall increased cost to the city. Greater than $70,000 is within this project. We might save $70,000 if we don't install the separators. But I believe eventually there is a time where this bike lane would be brought up to the standard where it is separated and protected from the travel lanes. And remobilizing equipment and, again, demolishing the part of the bike lane that will be constructed with this project would result in an additional cost. And I just wouldn't want to see that. And so just going forward, I really appreciate city staff's time and work on this. I just very impressed. I would say I hope that these kinds of discussions happen earlier in project development. Going forward, maybe there's concept designs or something the city can work on so we don't have to do full stormwater and retaining wall work and rework this late in the phase, because I think that's probably where most of the cost is coming from, is having to redesign stormwater and reuse stuff that's already been done. So yeah, I really appreciate it, and thanks for the opportunity to come here.
Any questions from Cat C for the commenter?
So Mona? About the retaining wall, is that because of the elevation of that area? Because there's hillside there.
Yeah.
That, okay.
Yeah, because we're pushing into the hillside.
Right. Okay. Yep. Just wanted to make sure.
And there's a.
That. And the swale is, you said, was a required element. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a chemical absorption.
Right. Okay.
For water quality. The federal. It's a federal project, so they have all these requirements.
Okay.
You have to treat a certain amount of area.
Yeah, I would wonder if maybe some of it is necessary, but there's a couple of spots where it's pretty obvious where you have a driveway and retaining wall that are right next to each other, probably with a large grade separation. I would imagine that's going to be quite a challenge without a wall.
Yeah.
Like right there, you've got that driveway and the parking area that's literally right next to the sidewalk. I would imagine that that wall is very needed.
It starts getting shorter here. This is the one that's a little more
tall,
a little taller, because there's an access road. There's a couple of businesses over here, so they get access through here. So that's how that the wall height was kind of set. It was trying to tie in without impacting that access road with a maximum slope.
Yeah, I would assume that the behind it is something like a 2-to-1 or that sounds rather rough.
Yeah, that's the worst right here, and that's why we're not putting the facilities in there, because it just wouldn't squeeze in there.
Any other questions related to the commenter? I will only note that, in general, I second the request that things like this be brought a little bit sooner for public comment. I do feel like one of the roles that CATC could serve a little bit better is as this initial public review for some of these larger projects. I'm sure we'd be happy to look at scoping level or sub-30% types of designs.
Yeah, this one, like Victor stated, started in like 2012. So there was a lot of public comment. CATC was involved. Because of federal money, it just took forever to get it. So, but unfortunately, a lot of the projects that we work on, the initial design starts and then we apply for federal funding. That federal funding may be 5 or 7 years later. And unfortunately, ideas change. But we did a really extensive public outreach and public involvement process. It just was at a time when buffer bike lanes was the thing, and it isn't anymore. So it's unfortunate that how long it takes. That was the problem. So it feels like...
how long ago was the grant secured?
Probably...
It might be that CATC package.
Yeah, probably around 2017.
Okay. I'm just wondering...
2018.
Presumably there was someplace along... And this is something we can bring up at a future meeting, but it might
CATC was involved. We had a lot of neighborhood meetings. We were even in what was the Albertson building for a neighborhood meeting there, and now it's Wilco. It's unfortunate that it just takes so long. A lot of people have moved on. A lot of new people are here with other ideas, and it's
just
a struggle.
Again, I will recommend tabling this discussion for a future time, but particularly if it's known that you're going to be applying for federal funds, it may be worthwhile building in a re-messaging campaign with a re-public if you're expecting the timeline to be longer than, I would say, something in the neighborhood of 4 to 5 years, which is reasonable for most grant apps. It'd be worthwhile to bring it back in once the funding is secured.
To answer your question, so 2019 is when the application process started for the project. And then
yes, we do.
2016 is when the planning effort ended, so about 3 years.
Isn't there another comment?
There is.
And I need to suggest that this gets moved along and we come up with a motion because we don't have a lot of time left.
I agree.
And I think that redesigning the project and discussing how we got to where we are today is no longer relevant. I'd like to make a decision. This is the second extension.
Agreed. So let's bring up the last commenter, please.
Okay. My name is Bob Courtwright. I live in West Salem. I came mostly to listen, and so the big thing I want to tell you is you're talking about all the things that I think are really important to making the decision, so congratulations for that. As an avid cyclist, I ride on commercial. I ride it on it a lot more now that there's a buffered bike lane. So that's definitely an improvement, but I'm, you know, that 1% that'll deal with anything. I think Cheryl hit the nail on the head. The more protection we can provide, that sends the kind of notice to motorists that, hey, there are cyclists here. So option two, I think, is a kind of a minimum. I'm a little uncertain about option three, again, just because there's going to be this one stretch of commercial that would get this kind of treatment. And I think some consistency also sends a real important kind of message. But again, I think you're wrestling with the right issues, and those are the thoughts that I have for you. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions for the commenter? All right. Then I will open up for general discussion items. I will just make two quick statements at the top. One is based on all of the comments earlier. I have two comments. One that, in general, I agree with Nathan's general reasoning when it comes to looking at the difference between options two and three. I do think that there are certain questions about option three meshing well with what's already in place. However, to follow up on Beth's point as well, and it's something that I stated in my email that I didn't go into great detail with, but suffice it to say that one of the things that we could be doing during this process, even if it's not formally so, is having a discussion, since I think it would be a statement of the obvious to say that SCAN has great interest in future plans for commercial in terms of pedestrian, cyclist, and vehicle plans going forward. If we decide here that it might make sense going forward for the TSP to recommend a multi-use path going down commercial to connect areas south and potentially going a little further north, we could say that even if it's not part of our formal motion, that we're making a recommendation that this seems to make sense for this corridor, and we'd like to see more of this going forward and maybe have it considered when the TSP is renewed, which is something that's on our agenda in the near future. Those are my comments.
Yeah, so what staff needs is staff needs a motion. You will also, Cassie, you'll also have a chance to comment during TSP transportation system plan updates, which are going to be coming. So that can be separate, but you know, at this point, what we're looking for is a vote on option one, two, or three.
Nathan, comment?
I'd like to make a motion.
Of course.
I make a motion that we recommend option two.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion on this particular item? This will be our last chance to make any appeals before having a vote.
I'll just say one thing. I love the idea of a multi-use path. However, with the current system, with the wider optic, it just is awkward. And so that's why I am seconding the motion for option two.
Go ahead, Beth.
I mean, I like option two. But I think if we always think small, Salem is going to always be in that way. we're scored these ways. People don't come here. They don't come here because our infrastructure is so welcoming and inviting. Like, and I have a lot of children we're trying to get to and from school. So I, of course, would like to have infrastructure that was supportive of that, but I would like everybody to be on the same page with that. And I don't know, get out there and see more frequently people who do have to navigate the streets and roads and that kind of thing. And you're in a car, and you can't feel it and walk it or ride your bike or see it and smell it and hear it. And I think that that makes people isolated, and they like those ideas, and they're going to stick with those ideas because it's easier. So it won't change.
Yeah.
And I think that it's unfortunate because I don't think that people value that as greatly as I do.
I have a brief related comment. For so I'm going to vote for option two. We're not voting yet. We will momentarily. For other projects, future discussions, I will vote for option three. There are places where we should do option three for when a whole road is getting a road diet, you know, Pringle or
McGill,
Liberty South.
McGillcrest is option three right
when
now.
When the whole thing's getting redone, then you go for the safest, best option. And I would like the opportunity to discuss those opportunities earlier in the process, as others have said. Thank
Agreed.
You.
I will. Please go ahead. Sorry. I was just going to make, again, two quick notes. One, I will most likely follow my conscience and actually go with Beth on this one as well. Second, we are all welcome to vote our consciences around, let a motion fail, bring it back up if it becomes clear that we have an option that we're all going to congeal around and revote it. So if we like option three, we can see if it'll get majority. We can see if option three will get majority support. If it doesn't, I think we all agree option two is our preference. So that's a perfectly viable, and if we're all intentional about it, takes a grand total of two extra minutes.
But the motion
yes.
on the table is for option
two. Correct. I'm just noting that I will be voting no on this one because I intend to vote my conscience on this one. I think I also prefer the multi-use for the reasons that Beth brought up. I think it's viable. But if option three doesn't succeed after this, I intend to approve this. So, any other comments? All right. All in favor of approving this for option two, say aye.
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 All in opposition? Nay.
Nay.
All right. It being 4-2, motion passes.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm not. Actually, yes, that's
good. I have a question before we adjourn. It appears that we CATC now only has 7 members.
Yes.
Is there an update on, so did 2 people term out or quit?
Two people quit. So the city manager's office brings members in. So they're going to be looking at applications and probably that will happen as we'll have new members for the beginning of the year. So our next meeting is November or December. And so we won't have new members by then, I think, because I think council appoints them. But we will have new members then at the beginning of the year.
And are those the only vacancies?
Those two.
That would be, there aren't others coming up in that time frame?
I don't think so. Are you done?
At the end of this year?
My term is coming to a close.
Okay.
And I was told by the city manager's office that a recommendation by CATC that I be reappointed could have me.
Yeah,
stay
I
on.
Think at this point, if you can serve another term and you want to, you're appointed.
I would
so,
like to. Okay.
So you're at the end of your first
yeah.
term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't think that's an issue.
Okay.
So you'll be back.
No,
so we will
here.
Be looking
I'll,
for two.
I'll even agree to show up sober for the next meeting.
So real quick before we leave, and I do since I there is a get past that. But one of the things that I. Being that there are voting, I want to bring to CATC's attention restrictions on public advocacy by public employees. So this is a handout that the city attorney gave staff. And since members of boards and commissions are considered public employees under your role as a CATSE member, I wanted to pass this information on. So basically what it says is that you can't represent yourself as a board of commission and promote an item. So basically consider yourself, so if you're out, it doesn't mean that you can't vote and support your ballot measure or whatever there. It just says that you can't represent it as a city employee or as a board and commission person. So if you are supporting a candidate or supporting a ballot measure or supporting something, you do it as an individual person, not as a employee. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that you are that, because I don't want anybody to get in trouble for that.
Be mindful of email signatures.
Yeah. So just, you know. Yeah. So I wanted to pass that out just because we're going to be getting into the season.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah.
And thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
I appreciate getting through the city.
Sure, Jared. And I'll request, I had three agenda items. Just want to make sure that they pop up on the next agenda. And Mike emailed that.
An item that I do need to come to you guys. I can't remember what it is.
I think I had an emergency control comments.
We'll try to fit what we can in.
Yep.